Welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and yes, God bless you. Okay, my name is Brother Godson Uba, and still with us is Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom, let's fire on.
All right, so the questions as they come in, and the call also as they come in. Okay, we have this, and this is from Sister Elizabeth from Cameroon. Sister Elizabeth says, Shalom, sir. Please, I want to ask this question. The Bible says, sin against the Holy Spirit has no forgiveness. Then, sir, the Bible still says that all scriptures are inspired of the Holy Ghost. And if you do not obey the scriptures, you are guilty of sin. Now, sir, which sin then can be forgiven?
I will answer it this way. Okay. In Matthew chapter 12, okay. This is the way he put it.
Matthew verse 31. Yes. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men.
Yes.
And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
That is the scripture. Okay. So that is a sin against the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That is to call the Holy Ghost in action. God in action by his Spirit, Christ in action by his Spirit in his church, to call him devil out of envy, not out of ignorance. Out of ignorance is forgivable. Out of envy. Once you do that, to run down anybody God is using, anywhere God is moving, that becomes the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It's not forgivable here or hereafter. Let me see the way she put the question again. She said,
if you do not obey, the Bible says that.
Now, the last question is, now, sir, which sin then can be forgiven?
Okay. Yes.
Any other sin other than the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost that is confessed, the sin has to be confessed.
Amen.
And to be forgiven.
Amen.
But if you refuse to confess, your sin will be with you.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Sister Elizabeth from Cameroon. Okay, we have other questions coming in, and this is from Oka, Sister Beatrice. So Beatrice says, I want to know the biblical tithing in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are so many kinds of tithing. So which one is applicable now, that if any follows, he knows that he is on the right track?
Sister, well, you have to get, first and foremost, the purpose of tithing. Whichever way you tithe, tithe is 10% of your increase, whichever way it is coming from, whichever way the increase is coming from. And so, for now, it is from your income, because you're talking of what type of
income.
You know,
yes,
it's from your income. Tithe is increase of your income. Any increase you have, any income you have, you tithe it from the profit, you tithe it. Remember that in the Old Testament, it was for the purpose of meeting the needs of the temple and of the needy. So I don't know why that should constitute any problem. Any increase you have, you pay the tithe. That's your own way of acknowledging that it is God that has given me power to do this, and I am given this, and it will be for the work of the ministry. Simple.
All right. God bless you, Sister Beatrice from Oka. Sister Beatrice from Oka, God bless you. Got your question. All right, we have this call, and this is calling me from Sister Nancy from Enugu State. Sister Nancy, shalom, and God bless you. Good evening. God bless you, Sister Nancy. Please go on with your question.
The question is that I don't watch the online program.
Okay.
Sometimes I see a program where they are using keys to do deliverance. So I don't know where it is in the Bible.
Okay. Now, there
using
is.
Keys
there is.
To do deliverance. I don't know.
Okay.
I've been arguing with it, a brother, and he said that it's not good. So I want to know if it's scriptural, and using candle to pray in the church too. Is this good?
Now, Sister Nancy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now, what we try to do Listen very well so it will help you. What we try to do is to bring people back to the scripture. When we say we bring you back to the scripture, is to say anything that is contrary to the scripture, anything you do in the Christian faith and there is a commandment against it, you have to do away with it. But when it comes to the move of the Spirit, it's not everything that is written here. He can lead you to do anything for whatever purpose. God honors faith. That was why he told the centurion who said, some were expecting him to go to the house to pray for his servant. And Jesus said, I will come. I said, no, you don't have to come. Just speak the word. Now, you see that, and Jesus said, you know, let it be unto him according to his faith. Now, it is faith. Now, the only problem we will have with anything you do is if you make a doctrine of it. If you make it look as if it is a Christian teaching. No, it is not. There is no teaching that tells you that you will receive deliverance by opening padlock. You will receive deliverance by burning candle. You will receive deliverance by whatever else you do. We receive anything from God by faith. But those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Let me just give you an example. You know, an example. In fact, it is prophetic action. Now, those who are in the prophetic ministry, God can lead them to do anything at all for deliverance. Anything is anything, as long as it is not contrary to the scripture. I am into deliverance, and I have received several, you know, instructions from God on what to do for somebody to receive healing, somebody to receive deliverance. But I don't come and teach it as if it is a doctrine. So it is faith. But if there is a program, for instance, for deliverance, and then I know, like Elijah will say, you know, there are prophetic actions in the Bible. Prophetic actions in the Bible. And you don't have to limit your own to the one that is in the Bible. It only lets you know that if God honors such faith, he will honor your faith also. So you can, it's as you are led by the Spirit, but it must not be a doctrine until the church is known by it. It is not. It's a prophetic action.
So please, I want to know, during crossover night, we are asked to come with candle in the church to cross over. That is a thing said by the Spirit of God. But I'm confused because the Bible says we should not worship any other image.
You are not worshiping the candle now. When we celebrate birthday and we put a candle, and they say happy birthday, and they celebrate and blow. It's a whole means of celebration now. There's nothing there. Now, it depends on, he should be able to explain what he means, what he want to achieve by that. What faith are you exercising? What does it symbolize?
You say it's candle night.
That's what I'm saying. Because candle can mean, it depends on what the person explains. But if he now makes it as if it's a doctrine, that is wrong. But whatever else he wants to achieve by it, I know that we have a lot of perception on some of these objects that we use, you know, for prayers. Yes. But I am a Bible teacher, and I'm a teacher of faith, and I don't just condemn things because I personally disagree with it. Now, I don't use candle to pray because I have not received instruction by God to use that for any purpose. And even if he instructs me to do it, it will not be a doctrine that I will come and teach the church. Anytime you want to pray, use candle. That will be wrong. Anytime you want to pray, use padlock. That will be wrong. Anytime you want to pray, use mirror. That will be wrong. But there is a deliverance coming up tomorrow, and the Lord has ministered to me against any monitoring spirit where they monitor where you are, because I saw a revelation where somebody, they monitor you through mirror. Come here, as we scatter mirror here, it will be scattered over there it is for that particular program and it is over. If you don't go and begin to be playing with a mirror and breaking mirror every night, that will be wrong. I hope you understand. God bless you. But they must explain. They must explain what they are doing, and they should not make people to go and be praying with candle, candle, candle. It, we pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through candle. We pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the name, not through mirror, not through, what do you call it? You know, whatever it is. But when it comes to deliverance, we that are into the ministry of deliverance, we can. There are a lot of things that we do that you will see it in the Bible. Yesterday, for instance, a minister had a problem with his leg in the church here. And he came, he said, for the past 1 week, he's not able to sleep. He had pains all over. And praying with him, I just told him, I went and matched that leg. And the power of God packed him, and the power of God began to work. And by the time he finished, he was free. Something was suffering for 1 week. I only matched the leg. Now, I'm not going to start teaching people, if you see anybody with leg problem, go and match the leg. I was led to do it. That's why I did it. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you, Sister Nancy. All right. So we have more questions coming in. And as they come in, we're going to answer them. Okay. This says, Shalom and God bless you, Pastor Moses and Brother Gossim. Say Shalom to you. I'm Sister Rosie from Douala, Cameroon. Please, will the church still be around during the Great Tribulation? If no, then who are the elect? Who are the elect chosen or spoken of in Matthew 24, verse 22?
Okay, let's go to Matthew 24 first. Now, that scripture says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, if picking that tribulation from verse 21.
Yes, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, none ever shall be.
No, nor ever.
No, nor ever.
Ever shall be. Okay. And a lot of Christians misunderstand this scripture, what actually Christ was talking in Matthew 24. That's why before we took that break, I was going to read the prophecy that Christ himself gave to the city of Jerusalem because he was rejected. This is the way he put it in Luke chapter 19 from verse 41.
From verse 41, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. Mm-hmm. For the days shall come upon thee.
That is the prophecy.
Uh-huh. That thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee.
They will cast a trench. They will surround you. Uh-huh.
And compass thee round.
They will compass thee round.
And keep thee in on every side.
Now this very thing happened in AD 70.
Yes, sir.
Now, read the next verse.
And shall lay thee even with the ground, uh-huh, and thy children within thee,
uh-huh,
and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Now, but before then, verse 15 of Matthew 24,
okay,
this is the way he put it.
Matthew 24, verse 15. Yes. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet.
Now, when did Daniel... Which scripture, which one is he referring to? Is referring to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26.
Okay, verse 26.
In that divine agenda that was given to Daniel.
It said, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and now, the people.
And the people of the priests that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, this aspect, this is what Christ was referring to.
Okay.
It happened in AD 70, after the death of Christ.
Okay.
That prophecy about the destruction of their city, it happened. And history tells us what the Jews went through. And don't confuse that verse 21 of Matthew 24.
Okay.
He said, for then at that time shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And what he's saying here has already come to pass.
Okay.
It was one of the most difficult period that the Jews ever went through. They were so, they encamped round about them, around the city. They gave time for the Jews to stand down the rebellion that they were having then. According to them, according to the history, it started with the politics of the office of the high priest. And then riots began and fight began. So remember, they were under the Roman Empire. So from Rome, General Titus was sent to quench the riot, according to history. But they will not. They encamped round about the city and waited and gave them time. But those who had believed the message of Prophet Jesus, his disciples, none of them was caught up with it, because he said, when you begin to see that happen, the cities encamp round about, just like Daniel had prophesied, because they are coming to destroy the city, according to Daniel 9, verse 26.
Yes.
Then, in verse 16, he said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And they say, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then that day shall be great tribulation, is problem, trouble, for the nation of Israel, such as was not since the beginning of the world. And remember that this is what led, the city was scattered, everything was broken down, the temple was destroyed, and they were, the whole Jews were scattered, and that is how they were scattered around the whole world, Europe and other parts of the world. And they remained like that until another prophecy that God had given was being ignited. They were given back to in one day. Can a nation be battered in one day? And in one day, while Zion traveled, the nation was born. In 1948, the United Nations granted them back their independence and returned them to their homeland. And they are there to continue with that divine agenda. And so, don't confuse it with the tribulation that will take place, that the same Daniel again prophesied, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1.
Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1.
Yes.
It says, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble.
A time of trouble.
Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book.
And this one in chapter 12 is now talking about when the Antichrist will now come. Daniel asked in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7.
And I heard the man clothed in...
And remember that is the period Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, and he was asked...
And I had the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, and it shall be for a time.
Now, time, how long will it last?
For a time.
A time. Time. Because in verse 6, go back to verse 6.
Verse 6, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be? To the end of this
of this tribulation, this problem that will come, how long will it last? And then he's now saying,
for a time,
1 year,
times
2 years,
and a half,
total 3.5 years. And remember that the agenda given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 27, he enters a covenant for one week. In the middle of the week. 1 week is 7 years prophetically.
Yes.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the spreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That determined, that is, it's God that had determined it anyway.
Okay.
It's not by accident, it's part of what had been programmed already. And that is fulfilled in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13.
In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13.
Yes.
And it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and a half from the face of the serpent.
3.5 years.
Yes.
So, and this takes place after the rapture. Therefore, the church will not be here when this tribulation will be taking place.
Amen.
And this great tribulation is for Israel.
Okay.
It's essentially for Israel. Of course, it will spill over to the whole world because the Antichrist will be in charge of both economic and political activities of the whole world. And so you have great influence, and only God knows to what extent he will go. Now, who are the elect that is spoken of there? But for the elect's sake, that is God himself, that proposed that not all will be destroyed. Therefore, it was not all. Say the days were shortened. If not, the whole of Israel will have died. So, but he knows for what to achieve his purpose, those he has before the foundation of all to fulfill his purpose has selected for that purpose. They are called his elect. And some of them include the disciples, the followers, the believers who were caught unawares, and their foolishness. They went through what was going through.
Okay, we have a call.
I hope that question is answered.
Okay. We have a call, and that's Brother John Kayode from Oyo State, Nigeria. Brother John, God bless you. Please go with your question, Brother John.
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom, Brother John Kayode, my faithful student, Monday student.
God bless you, sir, Pastor.
God bless you, too.
You see, I love this program, and this particular ask the pastor question.
Are you a pastor?
Bible study.
Are you a pastor?
I'm just brother, sir. Hand has not been laid on me.
But do you preach the gospel?
Yes, sir.
Do you explain Bible? Do you explain Bible to people?
Yes, sir. And we have Bible study on Tuesday.
So you're a pastor. Now you don't. Who is he that lay hand on people? Is he who call you? Isn't it?
It is he that calls.
So you are called by Christ, not by man. Because he is the one that gives some pastor. So he's the one that gives you the gift to pastor. So don't say you have not yet been, your hand has not been laid on you. Some hands should not touch your head. Some hands come and create confusion for you. Pray that it's the genuine hand of God that comes upon you. Okay, maybe one day you two will sit down and they will be asking you question too for explanation. So you're welcome, Amen. Brother John Kayode.
Thank you, Pastor. I don't want to assume this question that I want to ask.
Yes.
I want to ask from he that has gotten experience for some years.
Okay.
When I watched the program, when we joined the church, maybe on Friday and Tuesday, another program, I normally see those that are under anointing. Turning. Sometimes they will not fall down. But within the group of about 5 people that we are now, the 5 or 6 people, we have been experiencing such during the prayer meeting and during deliverance. And I want to ask, what is causing this type of turning?
That is.
And sometimes when the came back to normal things, said that they saw fire. I want to hear from you as a kind of you that have gotten the experience.
You mean me get experience of fall? Did you see me falling under anointing?
Yes, during the prayer, and you see them maybe manifesting and turning.
Me, do you see me turning
around?
Have you ever seen me have you ever seen me turning and falling under anointing?
Not you.
But you say I am experienced. You say I am experienced. I should explain it.
Yes, sir.
How? What do you say I'm experienced? Them,
you have been operating under the atmosphere of the power of the Spirit of God.
Okay, let the Bible explain something to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4.
Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
And verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without.
And verse 11.
Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Now you see there are differences in operation of the Spirit. There are different manifestations, different administration of the same Spirit. Now, on the day of Pentecost, there were different manifestations. Something supernaturally that happens when you come together or when the individual is in fellowship with the Spirit in prayer or otherwise, that the physical eye will see that the supernatural is around.
Okay.
So, when you gather as a group to pray, to worship, for fellowship, there are people that God will use to let you know, announce His presence. Now, we are made up of different spiritual makeup. Some of us are very light in the spirit, and some of us, of course, are also are very strong too. When I say strong, I don't know, heavy. Let me use the word heavy. There are some that once the presence of God comes down, because remember, we are two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. How will you know He's in your midst? This sign shall follow them that believe. He comes to confirm that gathering by those manifestations. Now, those of them who are light in the spirit, they can contact the presence of the supernatural. And when the supernatural is contacted, the physical, the flesh, must react. That is why you see different manifestations. And of course, these manifestations, you also need the spirit of discernment to know that it is not when the Spirit of God comes down, the manifestations also include demonic manifestations. Because a demon that is in your midst, maybe possessing anybody, when the presence of God comes, that is also uncomfortable. And then it could manifest. So the pastor needs, you know, a lot of high level of discernment to be able to. That is why that gift of discernment of spirit is there in verse 10. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another designing of spirits.
Can you see? It defines it. Designing of spirits. And a gift that every pastor should desire to have and pray to have after wisdom is discernment. The first one is wisdom, because you are going to watch over God's sheep, and you should have the wisdom to organize them. The second one is discernment, because it's a spiritual gathering. Satan can smuggle in there and disguise himself as an angel of light. I get our messages. get our messages. We are, I taught how to operate spiritual gifts, and everything is there. So, but more importantly is that it is the presence of the supernatural that the flesh is reacting to.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Brother Coyote. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Do bear with us. We're going to go on a break. And when we come back, it still asks the pastor. God bless you.